Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The latest in college esports from the students that play.
Go behind the scenes at the schools that game.
The only place where esports are
on campus.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. I am your host, Norris Howard, coming to you from Detroit, Michigan. But we also got a really nice supporting cast out there at UNLV in Las Vegas. Say what's up, guys.
How's it going, everybody?
What's up, gamers?
We always got a ton to talk about here on Checkpoint XP on campus. But first, we're going to start off with a really, really cool piece of news coming out of UC Irvine. So Pokimane, now the big streamer Pokimane, you heard that right. She's donated $50,000 to UC Irvine to help fund a esports and gaming scholarship. Now, this is really cool because we know that there's esports scholarships out there, but we very rarely hear about where the money is coming from. So, guys, how does this scholarship make you feel? And how cool is this that a streamer, a very successful streamer, but a streamer is spearheading the initiative on this one?
Honestly, I think it's a great move PR-wise because Pokimane is one of the like most famous streamers in the world right now. I've seen her commercials on HyperX products. So to have her, like this big name, come to UCI saying, hey, I'm donating $50,000 of my money to this scholarship fund that we can allow to have one student, you know, just help in the esports, then I think it's a good move.
Yeah, it's never going to not be a bad PR move. Yeah. So I think in the future, it's probably going to become a more common trend.
Mm-hmm.
Trend in this case being a good word.
Yes.
Because it's always going to be a good thing, but I can see other big streamers seeing this and be like, you know, that's probably a good thing to do.
I mean,
because streamers like to support like where they come from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So people might give a scholarship to someone in Michigan, someone in Ohio.
I definitely think that the gauntlet has been thrown now. I think now's going to be other streamers going to look at this and going, hey, this is a good idea. I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing. And you know what? I think the amount is going to go up now.
And so the student's going to receive $2,500 every year.
That is a lot for tuition.
That's pretty good. I'd be pretty stoked
for certain schools. That would cover a whole semester.
Yeah.
That's good. Trust me. College is expensive, guys.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that I think, you know, we will see other streamers begin to do stuff like this. In the same vein that you would see, like, the super rich start, you know, foundations and stuff like that. Like, also, let's just keep it funky. It's a good way to, you know, write that off on taxes. But it's still, you know, for the greater good. And another thing that I really enjoy about this is that the $50,000 was given in perpetuity, which means that it will sit in a fund and the money will grow. So you're growing out $2,500 every year, but because it's $50,000, it's probably growing at a rate that's larger than that. So eventually you'll be able to give this to more students, or one student will be able to get more. So right now, this is just for University of California, Irvine. We don't have any word of if this is going to be going to any other schools or any other departments. But as you guys said, this is a really, really good start. But I have another question is that, you know, we talk about scholarships in esports. We talk about more programs being added to more schools. Do you think that gaming and esports scholarships will ever reach the level of traditional sports scholarships where some kids are getting full rides to the university based off their talent in esports?
All right, in my opinion, it really is dependent on how much esports grows on the collegiate scene. If esports grows in a way that is almost equivalent to traditional sports, then there's no reason for scholarships to reach that same level. There's no reason why a student can't get a full ride scholarship.
I think it'll be a more case-by-case thing. For schools where it's like it's their claim to fame, they'll probably eventually get the full ride.
I'd say Harrisburg.
Like Maryville or Harrisburg.
Yeah.
Since that's like their avenue of getting their name out there, they're probably going to be more willing to put money down on it. mm-hmm. more than a school that has other traditional sports teams.
It also depends on, you know, how open-minded the administrators are. Like, if they can say, like, oh, yeah, this is something that's moving, this is the future, let's go ahead and support this. If administrators are, like, kind of more closed-minded or a little more resistant to change, then, you know, a full-ride scholarship might be out of the picture.
Yeah, it's really going to rely on the NCAA to an extent because they're already so afraid of players and money, video games. So once I get over that hump, it'll probably make it a lot easier.
Let me ask you, do you think that's a possibility in our lifetime?
In our lifetime, yeah.
Okay.
Because we'll get old. People our age will get older that get into those positions. Mm-hmm. So at some point in our lives, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just hopefully sooner.
Later,
before we're old.
Before we're old. let's say our kids will hopefully have it.
That would be dope.
Okay.
Well, we're going to have more coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus. We're going to break down how Collegiate Smash is working, as well as talk about one of the big grudge matches in CSGO coming out of Michigan, as well as we're going to talk to Jacob Brothers and his love for a certain blue spiny mammal. We're going to have more coming up. Checkpoint XP on campus, so stay with us. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. I know it's looking a little different right now, but we're starting off the show with a very special guest, a friend of the show. We're going to be talking to Mark Deppe. He's the program director for UCI Esports, one of the premier programs in the country when it comes to collegiate esports. And they had a really, really awesome announcement, and I'll let him tell you all about it. So, Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again. It's always a pleasure.
So you guys had a really big announcement about a new scholarship coming to UCI for your gaming and esports program. So can you share a little bit about that with us?
Absolutely. Yeah, we were contacted by Pokimane, the famous streamer and online personality, and have been working with her for the past almost year to build the Pokimane Scholarship. So she is endowing a scholarship, which will create a permanent forever scholarship for a valuable member of our community here at UCI. And she wanted to give back, and she thought we were a good partner for that.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. And if you are on a college campus right now, and you have an esports program, we want to hear from you. We want to talk to you. We want to highlight your program. So make sure you go to checkpointxp.com, hit that on campus tab, and you'll be able to see how you can submit your clips and stories to us, and we can share them to the world, because we always want more clips, more plays, and more schools getting the highlights. So we also like to educate here on Checkpoint XP on campus, because hey, it's college. And we're going to throw it back to the UNLV studios to Daniel Agbuya, and he's going to let us know how things work in CSL Smash. So, Daniel, take it away.
How's it going, everybody? It is your resident scrub lord, the fan of the FGC, the Street Fighter Supreme, the Tekken teacher, and the mediocre Marvel player.
King of Fighters as well.
Stop it, Jacob. I'm telling you, stop it right now. And I'm here to talk to you today about the biggest esport in the fighting game genre, and that is none other than Smash Bros. Ultimate. So, for those of you who don't know, Smash Brothers is a fighting game where you cause damage to your opponent to increase their damage percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more higher the percentage, the more likely you're going to have a time knocking them off the arena, which is how you win the game. Now, the thing is, when it comes to Smash, like, you know, most people know about, like, Evo and CEO, but don't really know how it understands on the collegiate scene. Well, on the collegiate scene, how it works is we have something called Crew Battles. Now, what is Crew Battles? Well, let me go ahead and give you, like, an example here. Let's say that, you know, we're having a 3-on-3. So, let's say me, Jacob, and Ethan want to play Norris, Robbie, and Nathan here in Smash. So, what we do is, First, opponents go here, and let's say it's Robbie and me, okay? Mm-hmm. So me and Robbie go on one-on-one with three stocks, and we go on until one of us wins. Now, let's say Robbie takes one stock away from me, and I still beat him. That means Norris will come in, and I have to self-destruct until I only have two stocks remaining. Mm. So that's how it goes, and that goes on back and forth until one team remains.
That's very different from normal Smash.
Yes, it's the only way you can really have these team battles in Smash, which is what the idea of crew battles are.
So each team has nine stocks total, and you're just trying to whittle all nine stocks down?
Yes, but in CSL, it's a team of five.
Oh, okay.
It's a team of five, and you gotta let the tournament know, okay, these are my five players, and these are their five characters. So that way you can plan ahead of time. So that is how the crew battles work. Now, in CSL, and even on Professional Smash, there are limited stages, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So with on stage-wise, you have five neutral stages. You have Final Destination, Battlefield, Smashville, Pokemon Stadium, and the Kalos Pokemon League as your initial stages. And you can use the Town and City stage as your counterpick. Now, when it comes to picking a stage, this is how it works. Before the teams face up each other, you do Rock, Paper, Scissors. Because you gotta start everything with Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Important.
Yes. So the winner of that match gets to pick one stage to strike. And then the opponent gets to pick two stages to strike. And then the original winner will pick out of those two stages to play.
Okay. Well, here's an important question. Yeah. So my favorite part of watching competitive Smash is a really awkward setup stage. Mm-hmm. When the people are like unwinding their controllers, and mm-hmm. they're like looking at each other, and there's like language barriers, and they're like, do you want this map? Do you want this map? Mm-hmm. Let me change some buttons, and I love how awkward that is, and how you get to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
So how much of the setup stuff do you get to see for a collegiate Smash?
Typically, that stuff is not going to be so on the stream. In between matches, like when the opponents are changing, they'll cut the commentators to talk about what they just saw. It's like most things, you want to see that.
Okay.
And honestly, other than that, that's like all the thing you need to know about Collegiate Smash.
All right, so thank you so much, Daniel, for that breakdown of Collegiate Star League Smash. If you want to know specifically about Collegiate Star League and their Smash tournaments, you could go to CSL.com. You could check it out there, and you'll be able to see all of the really, really awesome tournaments and streams that they have for Smash. It really is a great watch over the weekend, and you can see some really hype moments. But we're going to have more coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus, where we're going to talk about a little known gem in collegiate esports, the Call of Duty Collegiate League. So we're going to hear more about that coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus.
It's Black History Month, and we'd like to spotlight Gordon Bellamy. He is the current president and CEO of Gay Gaming Professionals, and he is working to make the video game industry a better place for the LGBTQ community. Thank you to Gordon for your contributions.
Tell me now for sure.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah. It looks like Sprite, but with clouds in it.
This is the amazing. First time where I've ever thought, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to drink this.
You know what? F*** it. Let's go.
All right. One, two, three. Ugh. Oh, God.
Oh, I don't hate it.
How do you not hate it?
I don't love it.
That mm-mm. wasn't as bad as I thought it was going
to be. The strawberry after note is probably the only thing saving it from.
I'm going to say
it's not good.
No. No. Oh, my God. It's so bad.
You know what this tastes like? You know what this tastes like? It tastes like you've eaten an entire box of the Tabasco Cheez-Its.
Yeah.
Then chased it with like
strawberry pop
Faygo. Yes.
Do you guys want me? Do you wash it down with something?
No.
God.
No.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus again. And as always, your number one resource for collegiate esports. We're the only ones doing it, so that makes us number one. Now, we're going to throw it back to the UNLV studios, where we have one of our editors, Kevin Kelly, joining Jacob Brothers on the set, also known as the Drop Shot Boys, to let us know all about the Collegiate Call of Duty League. What's going on, guys?
Jake, what's going on with College CoD, man?
What's College CoD? College CoD is a league that all other collegiate esport leagues should look at.
A nice little hidden gem in what is largely a landscape of college esports that really has
like, is lacking in refinement.
Yeah, no, it's crazy because, like, you have questions about this league and you go onto their website and you get answers.
Exactly. And those answers mostly are in the top five teams right now. Mm-hmm. If we want to just get straight into it, the top five teams that you should be looking out for in College COD. Starting at number five, we have Rutgers Scarlet. And so what a lot of these teams will do, they actually have two separate teams. Mm-hmm. Like, so they'll have Rutgers Scarlet and then Rutgers another color.
same for our number one team.
But they're not as good, so we don't even need to worry about them right now. But you got the GSU Eagles, Concord Maroon at number three, Humber Esports defending at champs. Number two, the defending champions, yes, and Texas A&M's Maroon Squad are currently number one in the league right
and
now.
And they're a pretty high one, if I understand correctly.
Dude, their like win percentage is like, there are some teams like 3 weeks into the league, zero maps lost. Mm-hmm. 100% win percentage. That's crazy.
It's, and you know what else is crazy is that they supplied this power ranking themselves. Mm-hmm. They have summaries of their weeks. There is a schedule that you can actually look at. You have an active social media. You have a Discord where we can just talk to them and ask questions and they'll actually answer.
Yeah, and that just gets into what we think this league personally, like a lot of other college esports, need to start taking notes mm-hmm. on how like incredibly organized and interconnected the ease of finding information is. Just, it's so seamless and easy. Like you said, their Discord is descriptive and informative. And like I said, just take notes. There are some leagues out there that you can't even watch matches. Yeah, like, no, they don't stream their matches.
The number one thing holding back collegiate esports is the polish and the organization. Mm-hmm. TESPA has some trouble sometimes. CLOL has trouble sometimes. If the biggest esport in the world, I'm having a hard time seeing when matches are happening, that's a problem. So the way they do it here is that they have their Twitch channel of College COD, and they just run, they play every single game on this channel. You look at the schedule, you see, oh, I care about this school playing at this time, and you hop on the stream around that time, and the game will be there. And you can watch the game.
The easiest way for you to get people to kind of like become esports fans is make it easy for them to consume the esports.
That's the reason why we have Twitch. Like, that's exactly. Reason number one.
Use the resource. It's free. You can stream on Twitch for free, guys. Like, it's, you don't, it, like, you may have like production costs and stuff like that, but relatively, you can stream on Twitch.
And
like,
yeah,
it's,
you
not
can hook it, yeah, it's so frustrating because this is so simple. This is so easy. Like, you look at this, and this is our third season, so they've been, like, putting effort into it over the years. But it's just, like, this just makes sense. You're using the spectator mode that's already in the game, that the Call of Duty League
they
uses.
Provided for you. They, like, that, the devs did that
they're
for
using
us.
What's provided to them. Wild. It's the audacity of these people, right?
And so, it just makes it easier for us to, like, cover this league going forward now, because it's something that it's going to be, one, it's going to be easy for us as members of the media to do, and now we're going to, it's going to be, like, fun to do, just because, like, we really like COD esports. We do the podcast about it, like, mm-hmm. So I'm really excited that we discovered this.
Like, it's comments. So much easier to be into something when you know you can actually watch it.
Norris, what do you think, man?
I think it's amazing. I think you guys are absolutely correct. The easier that you can make it for the consumer to get to your product, the more people will go to your product. So I'm definitely going to keep an eye out on College COD, as you guys call it. But I want to ask a very quick question. Of the games that you guys saw and the teams that you did some research on, who is standing out to you as some of the best teams? Obviously, you have the power rankings there, but who are you pretty big on in this semester?
Humber Esports is always like, COD is really easy to kind of like string runs together. Mm-hmm. So anyone who's won in the past, you can always have a good enough expectation for them to win again and again and again. So Humber Esports, they're not number one ranked right now, but I would never count them out.
Yeah, like they deserve that number two spot because mm-hmm. as they are the defending champs and have that blood.
Again, that in the 27 running. Map wins and across the 3 weeks they played, one loss. At all. One map loss in the entire scope of the league. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who I'm always going to keep
an
eye on.
Oh, and Full Sail Armadas also. They mm-hmm. they recently dropped out of the top five, but they actually have more wins than the Eagles right now, even though they are a little bit lower in the standings because they have a loss. But Full Sail, which is also kind of an interesting school in general, I think, when it comes to video games and esports, because that was kind of their whole like pitch. Mm-hmm. So for them to be doing well in an esport is pretty cool and good for them.
And just one more team to watch out for, Concord. They're in there in the top five in the power rankings. They haven't played as many matches, but zero map losses
which
across
is
those
the
three
stat
weeks.
That matters.
Again, that's crazy impressive. a 100% win percentage.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for that really, really cool breakdown of College Cod. We're going to have more from College Cod because these guys are going to be on top of the case. So if you are a Call of Duty fan and you're following both CSL, come on over here and follow College Cod, too. And these guys are going to have the breakdown of all the really cool stuff going on in that esport. But stick around because we're going to talk about a little bit more esports. And we're going to break down some CSGO with Jacob and talk about a big grudge match that went down in Michigan. So stick around for more Checkpoint XP on campus.
Hey, this is Weird Beard, and this is your CSL Power Rankings for the week of February 17th. In Dota 2, the current top two teams, UIC and SBU, both played on LAN last year. SBU earned their spot on LAN from the lower bracket after being beaten by UIC, an underdog team last year. UIC placed second and SBU placed third last year, and UIC and SBU are tied this season. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is the only team from the Central Group that has a spot on the power rankings currently. The Northeast Group has three teams, SBU, Rutgers, and Maryland College Park. While we take a look at the full rankings, let's check out this match between RIT and SBU. Stony Brook University has been at the top of power rankings for most weeks. RIT was last year's champions, but SBU is also at the grand finals. Let's check it out.
Doom's a little bit tanky. I think he should be safe. Hey, there's a cold embrace from Xanthos, making his presence known. Puck taking damage, saved by Oracle. Doggy comes at Doom on Oracle. I think Doggy's going to fall. Yes, he is. Now we have the rest of RIT making their way here, save for a farming drow. Doom falls, Razor falls, SBU.
That was a really weird track.
Moving over to League of Legends, no matches were played last week, so the rankings stay the same. Let's see a refresher on those standings, while we also check in on SBU versus Arizona State. SBU would go on to win over ASU 2-1.
Jimmy, though, it's a bold one to try to turn around. Couldn't run, so he tried to get the hook. Wasn't able to find it. Backrat's back, baby. And Adam W., well, he's feeling the pain of that one. Michael Bacon feeling good about this one. But how good can you feel? The barrier is popped. The stun is there. It's all Leona, but the triple kill credit going to Michael Bacon in a huge one. Not slim.
And finally, in CSGO, some matches remain unreported as of this ranking. All teams performed as expected, so no rankings changed. Playoffs are next, and we'll begin February 22nd. Let's take a look at those rankings.
Play bro time, but at this point it seems so unlikely. And Jack in a position to hold them off here. He's caught. Destin lose 1, 2, 3 frags for him. That is phenomenal from him. At a match point found for Carnage and Arbor Esports. I mean, they're stuck. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and this is getting even more difficult now with the lack of utility.
That's it for your CSL Power Rankings. For more on the CSL and where everybody stands, head over to our brand new website, newly reimagined, at CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. And don't forget, you guys can follow us on all of our social medias at Checkpoint XP, where we'll be sharing out all the cool stuff, all these really crazy clips from a variety of our shows. We've got a Overwatch show called The Owl's Nest that features Jake, the former Houston Outlaw, with one of our hosts, Robbie Landis, where they break down all of the finest in the Overwatch League and just the game in general. So make sure you guys stick around for The Owl's Nest and follow us on social media where you can get all the information on that show. Now, we're going to throw it back to the UNLV desk, and these guys are going to talk about one of the coolest grudge matches that went down in collegiate esports in the Midwest, where we saw Western Michigan University take on the University of Michigan in CSGO. So let us know how that match went down, guys.
Yeah.
Travis, so, the big brain.
Yeah, I had to put on my thinking cap for this one because Norris and I were talking. He was like, hey, you know, you like your Michigan sports? And I was like, unfortunately, yes. And he was like, do you want to, like, look at this game? So looked at this Michigan clash. Mm-hmm. And it was a clash for one game, you know. The WMU Carnage, they won on an Inferno with the final score being 16-14.
Ooh.
So a very close game that did end up going back and forth. But it was mostly because Carnage had a really good T side. Because at one point they let the score get to 12-8. So they were always still within reach. But Arbor was definitely ahead. And then once they got into the T side, they just kept on winning. But with this match, it didn't feel fancy. Like, I watched some, like, big Counter-Strike people, And when I watch this match, it's not like, okay, we're going to do this little half wall throw over with the flash. We're going to do this. They're like, no, I'm going to throw a grenade. I'm going to lunge my body through the smoke, and hopefully I win the gunfight. It's very much like a, hey, we are going to swing and take this engagement, even if it wasn't really the right call. Like, there weren't, like, fancy flank rotations. It was like, okay, we're not going to win in this confrontation, so we're just going to go around. So it was definitely, it was a grudge match for sure, because it was more like, hey, we're going to stand here, and we're going to shoot at each other.
Oh, yeah.
Someone will fall. and that's really how that game one went.
Now, did game two go the same way?
But hold on. No, the star of game one was, sir, I am lying to you. The pro player was Arbor, even though they did lose. Prophet had about 33 kills, so he did try to put the team on his back, but just could not beat a whole team.
Wasn't enough.
It was not enough. God bless him. Game two was different.
How so?
Game two on Overpass, the final score was 16-7, it played the way it sounds. This was a definition of an economy game. Because Carnage opened up the game with a 5-0 start. Mm-hmm. If you win 5 rounds unanswered where you're not losing many people, you're usually going to have the money you need to just kind of carry that momentum. So it really did go that way. I picked out a star of the game being Sir Odog with 25 kills. He was also their opper, which was kind of cool. But these guys were... They were better. they were better. They would be like sniping with their AKs, you know, that kind of a thing. And it's like, we're going to swing around this corner and just kill them. Or for a lot of the time, Arbor didn't have a defusal kit. If you don't have defusal kits, then you just plant the bomb.
So, Jacob, obviously, you know, this is like our really first time getting in depth with CSGO. Based on what you saw, what makes a good CSGO team? Well, how, you know, what?
Esports comes down to execution, right? Every game. Mm-hmm. Same for League of Legends. You say, hey, we are either going to take this camp or we are not going to. Mm-hmm. Or we are going to go here. And it's the same thing here. There's way more complex strategies. You can, like, you know, throw a grenade over, like, 5 different walls and somehow land and their spawn and all that crazy stuff. But it's also just knowing when to engage. Mm-hmm. They're going to come through this tunnel and the team is going to be there because they couldn't find them anywhere else. So you come there and you take those fights. And it kind of just came down to what it felt like mechanical skill. Carnage controlled the tempo. So if you are a team that can control the tempo, you can probably win the game.
And that's what set WNU out over Arbor, huh?
Yeah. For game two, it was the tempo and the economy.
Okay.
And it wasn't more complex than that.
Really. Why do you think Arbor just lost that edge second game?
It could have been discouragement from game one. That's always possible. But also, Carnage did pick map two.
Okay.
So you could tell it was a their map pick.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's probably a combination of they picked the map they like, they had the tempo, and they started out with 5 rounds, so they had the money.
That'll do it. That will do it.
Got to guarantee.
And that's that. So we hear that Western Michigan, again, a Michigan school that is invested very early in esports, and they seem to be able to take it over U of M with that wonderful breakdown coming from Jacob Brothers. But we are going to close out the show today talking about the Sonic movie, and I'm pretty disappointed in that, but that's okay. But we're going to talk about it, whether I want to or not, coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus. Stick around.
The 2019 Game Awards are in the book, and look.
If I didn't see it for myself, and Nate would have been like, I really liked it. Oh, okay, cool. Make sure I never touch it.
Jean-Paul says, I pre-ordered no.
Oh, the stage break. Oh! Oh, and he hits A instead of B.
Space mouse, zoning for a bit.
Umbala just falls again, but they get traded back for Elrond. Peggy 303 falling as well. The kill's going in favor of OU at the moment. Supreme display of talent goes on to Chief Lodge, and he's gonna go down. A failed gank from Gamers of OSU. OU's on the Nexus, and they will pick up this exhibition match in a 2-0 over the Gamers of OSU.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on Campus, number one resource for collegiate esports. Your host, Norris Howard, here. We like to close the show out usually with something a little more lighthearted and fun. And we're going to throw it to the studio one last time and talk to the guys about the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Now, we've been hearing really interesting commentary around the film, and we wanted to get the opinion of our resident Sonic stan, Jacob Brothers. So, Jacob, how'd you enjoy the film?
This is my time. Now, Mr. Daniel, since you did also view the film, I will allow you to read the first bullet point that I have written in bold.
Okay, that first bullet point is, the movie score on Rotten Tomatoes is 95%, and CinemaScore gave the movie an A. Now, I think that's a really good thing, but...
That is awesome, Daniel. So let me tell you about the Sonic movie. This is my Super Bowl, okay? We get a video game movie that is good, and it's a Sonic movie. The humor is consistent throughout the entire movie and manages to not be cringy. It's an accomplishment. There are maybe two scenes in the whole movie that's a little cringe, but it's not. And the human actors actually added something. This is a very big thing to me. I thought it was going to be similar to the Transformers movie, where it's like the humans are there and you want them to leave, and then the Transformers are what you're actually there for. But in this movie, the actors were funny. They actually added something to the movie. And speaking of human actors, Jim Carrey was good 80% of the time, you know? But there was a couple scenes where he'd be like, hey guys, by the way, I'm Jim Carrey. And we'd be like, yeah, we know you're Jim Carrey. But when he wasn't doing that, he was really good, and he played that role well. And also, why this movie did well is because the plot was straightforward. A problem with a lot of these video game movies in the past is that they would try to do all this fancy stuff. Hey, we're Resident Evil. We're going to do this girl hologram is going to talk to me for some reason. In this movie, you have a character that likes adventure and likes to talk. So what do? You put him on an adventure with someone to talk to, and it makes the movie. And there's also, it's a focus plot. So at a point, which is not a spoiler, Sonic says, hey, we need to go here, we need to do this thing, and for this reason. And what happens? That's what they do. But one thing that is probably a problem only for Jacob Brothers is that there are some pretty legit canon issues. If we're going to look at it a little bit, where it's like, hey, a lot of this is happening because he generates lightning. But it's like, Sonic doesn't generate lightning. But the reason why that's okay is because the Sonic brand from day one has already had so many different interpretations. The games are different from the first cartoon and the second cartoon, and the comics are different, and Sonic X is different. Sonic Boom is different. So when you have a brand that's regularly seeing a bunch of different interpretations, a new movie interpretation still goes well. And he looks great. He sounds great. It's actually funny. The post-credit scene is electric. And that is what we have for the Sonic movie review. It is, and I will say, 8.5 out of 10. I was genuinely surprised at how good it was.
All right. Well, that is a glowing review from Jacob Brothers, but we are going to have to end the show on that note. Thank you guys for joining Checkpoint XP on Campus. We definitely have to thank all the folks at UNLV who help out with the production, as well as Kevin, Daniel, and Jacob for sitting in at the desk today. And we want to thank Weird Beard, who helps us with production here in the Detroit studios, and all of you for watching the show and listening if you go on and grab the podcast. Now, don't forget, you can go and grab the Checkpoint XP on Campus podcast everywhere you get your podcast: Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, whatever. And you can go and listen to it if you can't make the Twitch show. But we also hope and demand that you return here for more Checkpoint XP on campus. Have a good one, guys.
Take care of yourselves.
Gotta go fast.